Hi, Minister Rick Bell here with HeavenlyWarriors.com, and I wanted to say a few things before we get into the broadcast that I recorded last night on Pine Ridge Warriors Radio Network. Now, there's a pastor named John Ramirez who happens to be a former Satanist, a warlock, a high priest in satanic worship. He served the devil, but now he's a pastor and a teacher, and I came across him a while back and have studied and actually become acquainted with him and doing some work with him right now. One of the things that Pastor Ramirez talks about is how the witches operate, how the covens operate, what they do to attack Christians. And one of the things he said was they will pray and they will send curses and physical illness into your household. They will send attacks. And they in the form of heart attacks. And people have heart attacks at 3 o'clock in the morning. Otherwise healthy individuals die in their sleep. And Pastor Ramirez explains how these things take place. And this is real, ladies and gentlemen. This is real. This is not some science fiction Stephen King novel. This is reality. And unfortunately, you and I are going to see more and more of the demonic increase in power in this land as things move along. And that's just the way it is. And the church can no longer ignore this and put their head in the sand. And Christians can no longer just assign this to the kook fringe and think that anyone who talks about these things, oh, they're kind of out there. Ooh, I don't know, Twilight Zone stuff. No, the joke's on you, my friend. You must now open your eyes and see what we are dealing with. Pine Ridge Warriors is a show that is on weekly. It's a deliverance-type ministry. Brother Marcus Samuel is the founder of that ministry. He is a deliverance minister. I've ministered alongside him on worldwide radio, spoken with him many times, and became very close to him. About a couple of months ago, he said that he felt like he was under attack, under spiritual attack. Now listen, deliverance ministers know, they're very keen in their spirit when something's not right, when something doesn't feel right, when there's some sort of pressure on them. And Brother Marcus said that he was under attack. Well, we come to find out, because you know, we have a network too. The Christian deliverance ministers have a network just like the witches have. So the Christian deliverance ministers recognized that there was specific attacks afoot. There were specific packages being sent out by a witch covenant. This is real. This is not made up. This is what's happening right now. There were specific packages being sent to certain ministers, certain deliverance ministers, that included some items that were cursed, that were bringing curses to these ministers. Now, you laugh at that and say, oh, sure. Yeah, if you were one of the victims of these, you wouldn't be laughing so much. Brother Marcus Samuel said that something wasn't right. He wasn't feeling right. He was under attack. He had never felt such oppression in his life over the last month or so. So much so that it was hindering his ministry, his ability to go on the radio and do these. He had considered just giving up. He was depressed, and this was not like him. He was a robust, strong, ex-military guy, tough guy. But he said he just felt like giving up. He went to the doctor to to be examined and said, "Doctor, I don't feel right. Something's wrong." The doctor said, "There's nothing wrong with you. You're perfectly healthy. There's nothing wrong. We did all kind of tests on you. There's nothing wrong with you. Go on home." Well, Thursday morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, one of those heart attacks that those witches send out arrived at Brother Marcus Samuel's house, and it attacked him, and it took him out. It killed him. He died. That's right. My friend, my brother in the Lord, my co-deliverance minister, Brother Marcus Samuel, a healthy man in his mid-50s, died in his sleep, 3 a.m. Ladies and gentlemen, this is real. The battle we're in is real. I'm not on here just because this is some sort of sensationalism or gives me some sort of a thrill or a rush to be on here talking about demons and things like this. I'm called to do this, and the need is increasing exponentially. The need for deliverance to deal with these demonic spirits that are being poured into our realm. You know, I wake up every morning to emails just waiting in my inbox of people begging for help from these demonic spirits. Good Christian people. I had one just 10 minutes ago. I woke up and here was an email from a family who has a young man, son in his 20s, perfectly healthy, normal young man, had an accident and had to have surgery for that accident. It was not a serious thing, but he had to have some corrective surgery. When he came out of that surgery, according to his parents, who are Christians, who raised him in church, they've all been in church, according to his parents, he's possessed. He's lost his mind. He's gone insane, and he has delusions that he is going to have to kill people to save the world. Now, this is happening. These people are asking for help because their son is possessed. They fully believe he's possessed. They don't know what to do. There's going to be more and more of this. So I want to play this instructive teaching from Pine Ridge Warriors from the radio show last night. Now, Brother Marcus Samuel passed away, and this was the first show, the first weekend of shows since he's been gone. So we wanted to teach some on spiritual warfare. It's a tough situation because everyone involved on, you know, in this broadcast was very close to Brother Marcus Samuel. Good man. I'll miss that brother. But we did teaching. It was ended up being a 3-hour radio show, and I think I only put about an hour and a half on this that you can hear. But towards the last part of the show, we did on-air deliverance where people were calling in from around the world, other countries calling in and getting deliverance. And the Holy Spirit was moving in power and people were being set free. Now, I don't know how much of that I left on this recording, but we did all the way up to the last minute. They literally cut us off. You have 3 hours on the radio program and then it cuts you off. And we were still preaching and delivering people up until the last minute. It was a powerful, powerful time in the Lord. So I want to share some of that with you, and I want you to listen. And this is dedicated to my dear brother, my friend, who's not on this earth anymore. He's with Jesus, Brother Marcus Samuel.
So with that being said, Brother Rick Bell, welcome. And our dear sister, Elena, welcome to the show tonight.
Thank you, brother. It's always good to hear that laughter that you have. You know, that is a wonderful laughter you have. That's contagious and infectious. You never stop that. Let that keep going, man. That feels good when I hear it.
Amen.
You know,
well, go ahead, sis.
I was saying, I agree. Go ahead, laugh. We all could use some laughter after all we've been through all week. Yes. We should just have a laughing fest right now.
Yes, hallelujah.
That laughter is indeed contagious. You know, and the doctor says laughter is good for the soul. We should just let it out.
Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, we should. Yes, we should.
Yeah. Amen. Well, the scripture also says that, you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yes.
And, you know, since we have, you know, I've shared this on the past radio broadcast, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And really, you know, within the last 3 days, the Lord has been putting me to that test. He's been standing, you know, he will test you see where your faith stands. And brothers and sisters, truly, the Lord has given me renewed strength. I know during Friday, I was kind of in and out, you know, I was very mixed emotions on things. And just the one thing that the Lord really did impress on my heart today is don't stop with your joy. For right now, Brother Marcus, he is only asleep. He's only sleeping. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So, this show is not about me, not about any of us, but to glorify our Lord. So, Brother Rick, I just want to say thank you again. And, sis, you too. I want to say thank you, guys. Brother Rick, sis, the mic is yours. Amen.
Well, hallelujah. Sister, do you have something you'd like to say before I get going?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brother Rick. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I tell you what, I know it's been a tough week on my little brother Curtis up there, so I'm going to do something I don't normally do, but I grabbed my guitar. You know, I'm a guitarist and a singer, so I'd like to do a song for all of the listeners out there, and especially for my dear brothers right up there at Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. I want you guys to get in the spirit with me and just receive this. Hallelujah. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That's for you, my little brother. Just for you.
Amen, brother. I did not know that you were so anointed in that, brother.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm telling you, brother, you have a great singing. The Lord has blessed you with a great gift, brother. And amen. All I got to say is, you know, anytime, I guess I will be calling on you in the near future, brother, to create a song for us that we can play.
Yeah,
brother, I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Well, I'm glad you did, and I'm happy to create anything you want, brother. Whatever, you just let me know. And, you know, God gives us these gifts, and we have to use them. We have to use them. We can't bury them. We have to do something with them. And, you know, obviously you don't learn to play guitar like that, or, you know, in a week. It takes some effort and some work, but God gives you these things so that you can use them to bless others. And I'm glad that blessed you. Hope it blessed others out there. And I just thank the Lord for the gifts that He does give all of us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, I want to get into some good stuff tonight, folks. The Lord, it's been a tough week. Everyone on this show tonight, it's been tough. Many of you listeners out there, it's hit you the same way. I want to tell you how my week went starting on Wednesday, because it will play into the message that God has given me tonight. Now, I was scheduled to do this show. A few weeks back, Chuck, the producer, called and asked if I could do this date, and I sure, absolutely. So the way I do these radio appearances, I don't really sit down and just try to come up with something to teach on or something to say. I'll start asking the Lord What do you want me to say? What do you want me to speak on? And you guys know who do this. Sometimes he waits till the last minute. And I used to panic about that. You know, if I didn't have something fully, totally prepared, I would say, Lord, have I missed you on something? And then at the last minute, he'll speak into my spirit exactly. And you know what? It may be just one sentence. But that one sentence ends up being an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours sometimes, just because the Holy Spirit expounds upon it. So this was the case. I knew I was to be on the show this Sunday night. But I didn't think too much about what I was going to do, what I was going to say. I have a pretty busy life with ministry stuff. Some of you know I do prison ministry, and that's a kind of a full-time thing. A lot goes on with that. But so Wednesday, I did my prison thing on Wednesdays. I go and into the chapel over there and teach. There are several prisons within about a 30-minute drive of my house here in Central Texas. So there are plenty of opportunities to minister. It's just difficult to get in to do the ministry, believe it or not. It's not easy. They don't just let anyone go in there, so you got to jump through a lot of hoops. So I did that Wednesday. Wednesday night, sometime late that night, the Holy Spirit put Brother Marcus on my heart. Started thinking about Brother Marcus. And I attributed that to the fact that I was going to be on the show tonight. And didn't think too much more about it. But he just kept coming back to my mind. This was Wednesday night. All through the night, I'll go to sleep at 10:30 or 11 p.m. at night, and it's not unusual that I wake up at 2:30 or 3 in the morning and God has me praying for something. So he'll just put something in my spirit. And it may not be a big thing. It may be a big thing, but he wakes me up that way. I woke up sometime in the wee hours of the morning. This would be Thursday morning, this past Thursday, with Brother Marcus on my mind and the Pine Ridge Warriors and all of that. And I didn't think too much about it. I just thought, God is trying to give me some sort of a message for the radio show tonight, which is, you know, I'm kind of used to getting the messages that way. So as I was preparing Thursday morning, my little ritual routine is I put on my little running shoes and I go out and I have a little 5 mile thing that I do. Sometimes I'll run it. Sometimes I'll walk it and just, you know, half run, half walk, whatever. But it's my little exercise I do every morning. And believe it or not, that's where I get a lot of the words I get from the Holy Spirit. I have found that exercising like that is a form of fasting. It's a form of putting your flesh down. And if you don't think it's putting your flesh down, put on some tennis shoes and go try to run around the block. Your flesh will be screaming at you. So for me, that's a time that I hear a lot of things from the Lord. So I put my shoes on and I was walking out my front door, and the Holy Spirit spoke clearly to me. You know that feeling you get when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and you know you've just gotten a word from the Lord. This is one of those times. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, quote, "The enemy will attack from within." Okay? I knew it was the Holy Spirit. And that was all he said. The enemy attacks would come from within. Now, I knew it was the Lord, and I thought, well, this is my message that I'm going to bring on Pine Ridge Warriors. Because here's what I've been teaching. My whole thing, my background is two things, music and boxing. Some of you know that, some of you don't. That's kind of what I did with my life and my career and all of that. I ended up in the fitness business because I was a professional kickboxer and boxer, and I ended up working for about 15 years in corporate America managing finances for, believe it or not, kickboxing and boxing endeavors. And I was a professional fighter. So God started telling me to teach that his people needed to get in shape, need to get in spiritual shape, and that I was to use a lot of the training techniques and mindsets that I had developed as a professional fighter and as a trainer. After I retired from competing in the ring, I was a trainer and trained some world champion fighters. Had some real good guys in my stable. But the Lord told me I was to use that. That's the knowledge I had of training fighters and to start to get his people into shape. So I understood when the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said the enemy will attack from within, because the message I've been teaching and preaching now probably since January on the air, and I'm on the air every week on various radio networks. The message I have been preaching is getting yourself in fighting shape, because the church is in pitiful shape. Christians are in pitiful shape. And I put myself in that category. I'm no different. I don't get a pass on that. But the Lord started probably about 4 years ago. He gave me this message to start to teach to the church. And this was not popular. I'll tell you right up front. This was not what they wanted to hear. The Lord started talking to me about addictions and to tell the Christians to get off of every addiction they had. Every addiction. I mean, if you're addicted to Juicy Fruit bubble gum, get off of it. Whatever has you, get off of it. Now, they're all cool with that, you know, when it's alcohol or drugs or something, because none of them do that. But when you get to coffee and caffeine, whoa. You know, because we would have Bible studies and one of the guys there would drink two pots of coffee himself during the Bible study. And this guy was a tongue-talking, born-again Christian. So you know that message went over about like a balloon filled with lead. But I knew God had me on this thing, and I was telling them, we must get these addictions under control and out of our lives, because something's coming that's going to tax us to our very core. We are going to have to be in the best spiritual shape of our lives for the fight that is coming. Now, this was like now about 4 years ago, I think, that I first started on this message. So that wasn't popular. You know, but I found out that when the Holy Spirit starts telling you to do something, if you don't do it, you're going to be the most miserable guy on the block. Believe me. There is nothing like being a spirit-filled, called teacher, preacher, evangelist, pastor, whatever, and then walking in disobedience. That is a hard place to be. That's why so many of them have to live a life medicating with alcohol or whatever to run from God. So God gave me this message to tell the church to begin to get those addictions out of their lives, because when you have an addiction, you have an open door to the demonic. There's a little demon of addiction who's standing at the door, letting his buddies in. And that is an absolute fact, and I've seen it over and over in deliverance ministries. That root demon, many times, is a demon of addiction. Have you ever noticed at these AA meetings, if you've ever been to an Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting, they don't drink in there, but they chain smoke. They light one off of another. So they just trade one addiction for another. I know a guy who...
One demon for another.
That's one demon for another, sister. That's what they do. I know a guy who gave up drinking, and so he replaced that with a sugar addiction. He drinks... You know, triple sweet tea all day. you take a glass of tea and put two cups of sugar in it. So the point is, you can be addicted to anything, but you must get your flesh, hear me now, under submission. If you are under submission to your flesh, i.e., if you get up in the morning and you can't do anything before you have a cigarette, you are addicted. If you feel like you're coming out of your skin, if you don't have a cigarette every 25 minutes, that thing has you. It has a lock on you. It has a claim on you. Do you follow what I'm saying? If you were going to be an effective prayer warrior, someone who's able to get into the battle, you are going to have to be in shape to fight. That is the message the Lord was telling me. The enemy will attack from within. People who have been okay with things in their lives for years, maybe. I know many Christians, spirit-filled, I know preachers, pastors, that have issues in their lives. Am I picking up rocks and throwing at them? No. We all live in glass houses as ministers of the gospel. None of us are any better than anybody else. I'm trying to help these guys because I see the train wreck that's coming if we as God's people don't get in shape to beat back these demonic attacks and these witches. Let me tell you, it wasn't one witch that did this. There was more than one involved, and you know that. By the same token, we are going to have to marshal the forces of the Holy Spirit in His people to come together to fight like never before. So the enemy is going to attack from within. So the demon issues that people have had, again, maybe their entire lives, and they've learned to live with it. They're just kind of coping, and to be honest, they've made friends with their demons. They're kind of okay with it. And their cliche, you know, answer when you say, man, I think you may have a demonic problem. That's just the way I am. My daddy was that way. My granddaddy was that way. Look, it's just our personalities. It's just our family stuff. Well, you know the answer to that. Yeah, you're right. It is your family stuff. Your generational curse family stuff. But all of these things that have been in the land and in individuals, you are going to see, and I've been saying this, you're going to see a ramping up of the intensity of the warfare like never before. There have been some things change in the land. The United States of America has been taken over by demonic spirits, by spirits of wickedness in high places. The Supreme Court of the United States, we don't need to revisit that whole thing. That's bad. That's a dangerous situation that we're in. And we're up against some strong men, and we'd better get strong to deal with them. So as I'm out on my run on Thursday morning, it's about 10:15 a.m. my time in Texas. And I cannot get Brother Marcus off my mind. Now, folks, I'm telling you, this is what it was for me. I could not get the man off my mind. I didn't know why at the time. I thought I had a message that I needed to deliver to him, I guess, because God just has him on my mind constantly. I'll never forget the exact spot I was in. We have a walking, jogging trail here by my house, and that's where I go every day. I know the exact spot. My phone rang, and it was Chuck from this program. And when I'm on my run, I don't answer the phone usually because guess what? I'm out of breath. I can't even talk, you know, and I'm out running, so I just let it go to voicemail. And yeah, imagine that.
I would be too, brother.
Go ahead. Yeah, it went to voicemail, and it's Chuck that's calling, so I want to see what's going on. So I stopped, and I listened to my voicemail, and then Chuck gave me the message at what had happened, and I'll tell you, my knees buckled. I know the exact spot I was standing on. I'll never forget it. When you get significant news in your life, you remember it. You remember it vividly. I know exactly where I was standing. My knees literally buckled because I realized at that moment what we are truly up against. And I've been getting this message to warn God's people that the demonic realm was going to significantly increase in power, and we must begin to get in better spiritual shape to beat back these attacks in prayer, because that's the weapon we have.
Amen.
But we're going to have to be in the best shape of our life. I can't seem to stress that enough. What you think worked for you in 1998 or in 2008 is just not going to cut it with the elevated level of warfare we are facing. Hear me on this, people. Look, I've got better things to do than to sit here and try to come on and sound like a nut from down in Texas who's telling you that demons are going to get stronger and stronger. I'm telling you because it's the truth. I have to warn you. It's happening right now. One of
Amen. That's the truth.
It's happening. One of the things that the Lord told me to do, and this is 5-6 years ago, these paranormal shows that come on, in those days, this was probably 2007, 2008, I don't know. There were a couple of them. I don't know, The Ghost in My House or whatever, those shows. And I was kind of flipping through one day, and my wife and I said, you know, we kind of chuckled, said, oh, look at that, that's interesting. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, watch those. You need to know what the enemy's up to. You're going to see some things. You're going to learn some things. And I thought, well, that makes sense to me. And let me tell you why. My background, I told you, I was a boxer and a kickboxer. Well, that led me, the fact that I did self-defense led me into law enforcement. So I spent 10 years in law enforcement while I was, again, still, I was doing kickboxing and all of that. But I was a police officer. And I was a constable in the state of Texas, which is like a sheriff. So I had a lot of upfront, close and personal interaction with demons. Because in police work, guess what? You run across a few of them about every 10 minutes. So I had this background that I knew the reality of. The demons were real and all of that, but I had not had any instruction in it. So when I was a police officer, the one thing we always sought to do was get information from someone we arrested. If we were trying to work on a drug ring, guess what? We would arrest the street peddler, pusher guy, dope dealer, and we would interrogate him to get him to disclose how they were moving the drugs, who was involved, et cetera, to get the intel, the information on how they were operating so we could do our job and arrest them and do our thing. Well, the Lord told me the same thing. We need to know as the spirit of darkness is increasing in the land, we need to stay abreast of that stuff. You know, whether you like it or not, you got to know what the enemy's doing in warfare. The most valuable thing in war is intel on what the enemy's going to do. You know, the reason we're not all speaking German right now is because God intervened and we broke a code called the Enigma Code in World War II. If we hadn't broken that code, we would be speaking Der Führer right now. We'd be saying Sieg Heil. You guys need to understand this. It's information we must have. We must know what the other side's doing. It is foolish to think you can stick your head in your little religious hole and say, oh, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. Blood of Jesus has me. Blood of Jesus covered me. I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. Well, yeah, to an extent, but there's more to this than that. If there wasn't, we wouldn't have a whole Bible full of instructions on how we were to fight and be victorious and fight the good fight and finish the race and all of those things. The scriptures I'm about to share with you guys. So the point I want to make is, as we are watching, I think it was last night, I flipped the channel and there's a new one on. I said, you know, few years ago when the Lord told me to start watching these paranormal shows to learn what the enemy was up to, because listen, the people on there are lost as we say in Texas, they're as lost as a goose in a hailstorm looking for an egg. That's pretty lost. So the people on there, they have no idea how to get these people free because they've got Satan trying to cast out Satan. You know, they bring in these psychics and have them smudge and burn whatever they do, this crazy stuff, and it's Satan trying to cast out Satan. You know that doesn't work. So they have this new one, and it's on, and now this new one is called, and they probably have 20 more or more shows now on this Supernatural because it's exploding. It's a phenomenon that's exploding. They couldn't have these shows unless they had events that were taking place and footage and people who were willing to talk about it. So they have this new one, and it's called, I think it's called, and I might be quoting it wrong, I think it's called I Was Possessed or I Got Possessed or something like that. And at the beginning of the show, they have a disclaimer, and it comes on the screen, and it says, for some reason, demonic possession is dramatically increasing in America. These are true depictions of demonic deliverance, and they have this audio and video is not altered in any way. This is what actually happened. And guess what the audio and video is? It's the same stuff we see every day when we're doing deliverance. It's demonic possession, infestation, demonization, whatever label you want to put on it. It's increasing. The secular world even knows it's increasing. You are now starting to see secular news stories about deliverance, about people being possessed. You know why? Because it's getting so bizarre they can no longer ignore it. It's getting so crazy. A while back, there was a news story. Of course, the news stories get squashed because Satan does not want to draw too much attention to what he's doing. He doesn't want to do that because the Christians might just get serious and say, we better get figuring out what to do about this spiritual warfare because we don't know anything. So there was a story maybe a year ago. You guys probably heard about it. It was well documented. There was a young boy, I think he was 8 or 9 years old, couldn't behave in school. He was getting in trouble all the time. So he was in the principal's office, and apparently they have a resident police officer at all schools now. I think the police officer was in the principal's office, along with the school nurse, along with the boy's mother. Well, the 8-year-old boy, however old he was, 8 or 9, I don't know, he begins to walk up the wall. Walks up the wall. I think he walked across the ceiling and then came down. Okay, so you have these adults in there who are witnessing this. And there's no explanation in the natural for that. But it happened. Well, it was on the news for a couple of days. Did any of you guys see that? Did that ever come across any of you guys, stuff that you watch?
Well, brother, I would love to say I have, but unfortunately, I've been without cable for the last 6 years, so I haven't really watched any news.
Well, I think I'm going to find that on YouTube and send you a link. You need to see this, but the point of all that is...
Pastor Rick.
Did you see it, sister?
Pastor Rick.
Yes.
No, I haven't, but I just wanted to add something real quick, because this information that you're giving us, we need to sit up and take notice. One thing that's been sitting in my spirit since you began to speak was that what you're sharing, we have ignored. All these shows, these are things that we have been experiencing as a Christian, but we have shied away, run away from it, been afraid of it, that the Lord himself, even though Satan thinks that he's winning with this, I believe this is an exposure. When the Lord is having these shows being paraded to say, look, you don't want to acknowledge it, but I'm showing. I'm making it right in front of your eyes. Like he brought Ezekiel out and said, son of man, look what they're doing.
Yes, yes, sister. That is a word from the Lord. The church has ignored this because they are afraid of it. They can't control it. And because they can't control it and it doesn't fit in with their finances... And it's all about money. Don't think for a minute that it's not. When they sign that lease and they're on the line for a church building, that pastor has to get up and sell something every Sunday. And what he's selling is prosperity and hope. That's what he's doing. It's a product that he has to sell. I understand sales and marketing. And if he gets up and starts talking about this stuff that we're talking about, the people with itching ears, the Laodicean church, is going to get up and take their 12-year-old kid and say, you know, he's gone off the deep end. He's into this weird stuff, and we're just going to go. I hear so-and-so church down the street has a really good youth program. That's where we're going to go.
Yep. And, brother, you know, you guys are so much right. One thing that the Bible talks about is in the end days, gross darkness will cover the earth. Brothers and sisters, you know, if you were to take a survey, I'd say, heck, even 10 years ago, and ask how many people believe in ghosts or how many believe in angels, you would see a very few say, I don't believe them, or I don't, you know, don't. There's no such thing. But nowadays, if you would probably take the same survey, a lot of people that are exposed to a lot of these paranormal activity things, and really, it's a snare of the enemy to get people into, you know, walking around in graveyards with recorders and
yes.
certain EMP devices and,
right.
and stuff like that. And what they don't realize is they're taking a lot of these things home. Whatever demons they're calling upon in the grave are following them back to their household.
Of course.
Matter of fact,
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying this one thing, and I'll turn it back over for you, brother, is a couple years back, me and Brother Marcus, we went to this family's home, and, you know, they were complaining to us. They were actually very concerned because they kept seeing manifestations in the house. The kids started seeing ghosts. They started hearing demonic voices. They started catching them on phones, their home recorder, just some really off-the-wall stuff, some things that just started flying around in their house, and full-blown, you know, demonic manifestations were happening at their house. Well, come to find out, they were doing this exact thing. They were going out to the local graveyard, asking, is anyone there? You know, who are you? Are you hurting? Talk to me, and all this and that. And they're bringing these things home. And of course, you know, we had to cleanse the house. We told them exactly why these things are happening, why these manifestations are coming into their lives, because they're allowing open doors. And brothers and sisters, this stuff is real. And brother Rick, you know, and sis, you know, you guys prepare the listeners for this time where we will start seeing more manifestations. So brothers and sisters, rise up in holy faith and do what the Lord commanded us to do. Cast out demons. It's now is the time. It doesn't matter how foolish you might seem or how foolish you might sound, but this is becoming a living reality today in our day-to-day lives, brother.
Amen, brother. Well said. And I know Sister Lena agrees with me that the demand for deliverance is going off the charts. There are more calls and people reaching out to me every day through you, because, you know, I do Omega Man on Mondays, every Monday night, and that I get people from all over the world, Taiwan, Australia, Singapore, every country. I got somebody from Germany this morning. They were texting me, or I think they emailed me in German, but it, I mean, it was broken English, but it was kind of German. So they're all over the world and they're having the same situation. And here is the normal thing. It's either I'm very sure that I have demonic issues because, and then it's a template that is exactly right. Or they say, I am concerned that my husband, you know, son, whoever, significant other, is demonized, possessed. I had and this is the truth. I mean, all I say on here is the truth. Trust me, I'm not going to say anything that's not. We live in dangerous times. I had a well-known individual contact me. She's a famous person. She came across me somehow. And her husband, and these are Christian people, born again, spirit filled Christian people, and this famous person, I spoke with her several times, and she wanted me to come and do deliverance on her husband, but her husband has to agree to it. You know, you can't show up to someone's house and say, "Hey, buddy, sit down. My name's Rick. We're getting ready to get the devil out of you." Doesn't work that way, you know. So. I had these conversations with her. She's a very intelligent woman. She actually is a PhD, to be honest with you. But in the end, she called and said, he's just not going to agree to it now, so I'm just going to drop it. Now, how sad that is, because part of course, when you're getting ready to do a deliverance, you do a profile on the person. You find out what's going on. You know, you ask them a few questions, and if they say, well, I think he's demon-possessed because he likes anchovies on his pizza and I don't. You know, that's not a good reason. They're not really demon-possessed. It's a little bit more than liking anchovies or something. So you ask them the questions, and they're always the same, the answers that they give. And these things are increasing. I know 10 years ago I wouldn't have seen this kind of manifestation. And the story that you just told about going to the person's house and they were going to the cemetery. They're interchangeable, the word there. So these people track this stuff home with them. They are picking up hitchhikers at the cemetery. Those spirits, those demons, are looking for a ride. And you're going out doing that stuff, and you're unsuspecting, and they're attaching to you, and they're coming home. They're setting up shop, and you are going to see them increase. They're going to start rising up in you. Here's the point I want my Christian friends to get. The demonic strongholds that you possibly have become comfortable with, and you know you have them, those things that in years past you've been able to keep control of, they are going to rise up and begin to take control of you. Let me explain. You may have an issue, and I'm just going to pull something out of the mind. You may have an issue with seeking to have, you may be a sex addict, and you at one time may have gone to see prostitutes or something like that, but you have never really dealt with that. You've just kept a lid on it, and you kind of kept it managed and under control. We are stepping into a time when you, sir, will not be able to resist those urges. Listen to me. Those things are going to take you over. Those things that you thought you had hidden in the dark recesses, they are going to begin to, little by little, line upon line and precept upon precept, take over bigger and bigger chunks of your life until you are totally controlled by this spirit. That's what the Bible talks about in these last days. That's what's happening. We're having a demonic unleashing. None of us fully understand it because we see through a glass darkly. We don't have all the answers right now. But something has changed. And if you talk to any prophetic man or woman, anyone who moves in the Holy Spirit or deliverance or healing, they will tell you something in the spiritual atmosphere has changed. It seemed to change significantly around 2012. Something changed, and I think there are many factors that converged, that came together, that brought about this change. But something has changed, and these demonic forces are increasing. And all of the sin that you've been able to kind of cover and live with for years, hear me when I'm saying this, you must get it dealt with. It's going to rise up and take you down. I'm not saying this to be sensational. I'm telling you what is, you're watching it happen. This situation, that phone call I got from Chuck on Thursday, was a game changer and an eye opener. And it means we'd better sit up and take notice. Seriously. It is time.
Amen.
It is time to put aside those weights that have so easily beset us all our lives, some of us. I could tell you story after story after story of people who are serving God, who want to serve Him, good spirit-filled people, some of them pastors and preachers. But they have issues, things that have held on to them all these years, and you're going to see them increase. You're going to see them to a point where it renders them ineffective. You know, and the old... Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I'm saying you're right. Brothers, actually, it's kind of, you know, interesting you said that, because just today, whenever me, Brother Nathan, and several others were praying concerning some things that we know need to take place here, one of the things that, you know, one of the brothers, the Lord laid on his heart was, if there's anything in you, any secret sin, just like what you're saying, it might be either pornography or sex addictions or anything, any type of addictions that is dirtying up the temple of God, okay? If these things are in your life, get rid of them. Release them unto the Lord and get rid of them now. Because for a while, you know, you're probably saying, oh, well, that doesn't hurt.
Yep.
Or that doesn't matter. Or the Lord's not concerned about that.
Right.
But slowly but surely, it will lead to more open doors. It will lead from one thing to another. Just like many young men and women out here that are getting high on the weekends. And, you know, they're saying, well, it's only weed, you know, it's only marijuana. I can handle it. Well, soon after that, while they're saying, well, this high is not getting me there enough, so they start lacing their weed with other things. And that turns into a stronger addiction, more open doors, more satanic attack, until the point, and they may not even realize it themselves that this is going on. They won't realize it until it's too late. Kind of like the analogy of frog in a boiling water. You know, if you slowly turn up the heat, the frog doesn't know it's getting cooked alive. Well, that's an analogy of where we're at today, brothers and sisters. So if any of these things are in your lives, any hindrances in your lives, quit them now. Because if not, just like brother was saying, you know, there are more people giving him calls today that are saying, well, these things are going on in my life. Well, if you and I, as followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, if we're not doing what we're supposed to do, guess what? Guess who they're going to turn to? They're going to turn to the psychics. They're going to turn to these so-called Ghostbusters, these people that communicate with the dead, and all this other. They start falling away from Christ and start looking for other avenues that are not of God. So we're doing the Lord a disservice. We're losing more souls because we are not ready to step into the call and commission of what the Lord has made us to be. Brother.
Amen.
May I add something?
Could I add something real quick here?
Yes, please.
I have been struggling with an addiction to Dr. Pepper, soda pop. And yesterday the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want you to stop drinking that stuff.
Hallelujah.
And when I hear from the Lord like that, telling me to stop something, you better believe I'm going to stop it. And I have. It's not easy, but I know I've got to stop it. And I appreciate God speaking to me like that.
Hallelujah.
Because I've told him, I said, Lord, I want to hear your voice. If I'm struggling with something, there's just something there where if he speaks to me and I hear him say, stop that, I know it's a serious thing, then I will stop it. I haven't touched any of that stuff since then, and I'm not going to.
Hallelujah.
So you're absolutely right. Very interesting.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
We've got to give up all these addictions. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, ladies. Yes, I wanted to add, I think, first of all, before we can get anywhere, we have to admit, Houston, we have a problem.
Amen.
Look in the mirror and admit you have this addiction. Admit you have this sin choice. And
Amen.
That, you know what? It is sweet. Don't sit there and lie, because the devil knows that it's got a stranglehold. I didn't say a stronghold. I said a stranglehold over your life.
Amen.
What has happened? You've spent so long hiding behind it. Pastors hiding behind their sins, the things that they do. They go and they have a little shot. I remember even doing, I was out doing a deliverance, and we're trying to deliver somebody that was doing alcohol. The demons start to laugh because there was somebody in the midst that liked to go home mm-hmm. and take a little sip. They know what you do.
Oh, yeah.
And so even my own self, when I go, before I go to do a deliverance, I say, Lord, show me whatever it is that is inside of me, because your deeds will find you out. Be honest. Do not wait for a pastor or somebody, for someone to be sent to you to show you your deeds. Do not be like David. God sent Nathan to him. David tried to cover up his sin, and in the end of it, he had blood in his hands, and he could not build the temple. He could not have the desire of his heart to build a temple for the Lord. David was a man after God's heart, but he had blood in his hands. And you know what the Lord said to him? I gave you all from your master's house, including his wives and concubines.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted more, I would have given it to you. God wants to use us in our honesty. We need to stop the compromise. Let's just say, you know what? I can't help myself. I know when I say I can't help myself, that means there's a demon in control. I'm on somebody's puppet and I need help. Cast yourself, find somebody before, Commence the Bell, myself. There's so many of us out there. We'll be happy to help you. But you know what? I'm going to tell you this. If you come to me with lies, the Holy Spirit is going to bring you out.
Mm-hmm.
Because first of all, I deal, when the Holy Spirit has me to deal with you, I go to the root of your issue. And those that I've come, that I've ministered with, the Holy Spirit has blessed me to minister with, I tell them, I said, no, do not lie. This is what's happening in your life. You may cover up, but I tell you, the Lord will show out everything. And why? Because he wants to use you. We are coming into a season, into a time where you better know where your boxing gloves are.
Mm-hmm.
The atmosphere has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And Minister Bell, you mentioned something about 2012.
Yes.
Immediately the Lord dropped into my spirit. That was Obama's first term.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't want to say it, mm-hmm. but that's it, sister. Here's what he showed me on that. I didn't, but the United States of America elected that man in 2008. We as a country had an opportunity to see the deceit that he was caught in those first 4 years. We as a nation re-elected him in 2012. That's the problem. You know, you can be fooled, sister. People can, you know, the average Joe out on the street, you can fool a poor guy because he doesn't have any discernment, doesn't have any wisdom. But when you know what you're getting and you make a choice to choose it in 2012, we chose wickedness. We chose what the Supreme Court decided. We made that decision.
Yes.
We made that decision when we put, the church did. The silence of the church brought all of this on. I mean, you're exactly right. 2012, there was a turning point there. And because of that, you see, when Satan is worshipped in the land, and you say, well, how is Satan worshipped? When the White House of the United States of America is turned into a rainbow flag with colors, we are worshiping an abomination that God Almighty has said that will send you to hell. And we have embraced it as our nation's symbol. When that happens, it is the same. Listen to me. It's the opposite of if we had 5 million people in America tomorrow get on their face and cry out to God. And I mean, spend all day, 2 days, 3 days, 7 days fasting and praying, you would see miracle power flood this because that's how it works. Let me say that again. That's how it works. The converse of that, the opposite is when you have 5 million people who are living and embracing and celebrating debauchery and wickedness and things that God has said is an abomination, you are bringing down demonic spiritual power. Do you hear what I'm saying? That it's the same thing God told us to do. If two shall get in agreement and touch anything, it's that thing extrapolated out. But you get in agreement with wickedness, with sin, and you touch that and you come into agreement with it, the powers increase. That's what we're living in now. You are seeing a country that is now openly worshiping Satan. You say, well, they're not. They don't have an altar. And do the, oh, yes, they do. Every time you see another, you can pick and choose. Watch any Super Bowl. Watch any of the advertisements, any of the commercials. That tells you where the culture is. Now, do I watch that? No, I don't care. But I need to know where the culture is going because it's a time clock of how this thing's ticking down. And Chuck, what you said about the Dr. Pepper, that That's exactly what I'm talking about. It seems like an innocent, innocuous, you know, little thing you like. You like the Dr. Pepper. And I know because I've been on them before. But let me tell you something's going to rock your boots. You need to be sitting down for this, and I'm sure you probably are. Because this rocked me when the Holy Spirit spoke it in my spirit. Because, listen, when he had me on this thing about teaching the church to get off of all, underline all, addictions, anything, if you're addicted to candy bars, get off of them. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what's the harm in, you know, being addicted to a Dr. Pepper? I mean, you're not getting drunk. You know, it's just got a little sugar. You like that. You like the caffeine, whatever. And this is what the Lord dropped in my spirit, and this rocked me. He said, when a human being is addicted to something, there is a demon that has a claim check on that person. So when that person is no longer living on this earth, there's a claim check that has to be dealt with because a demon owns a part of you. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you have surrendered a part of your life and you are in open addiction, there is a demon somewhere that says, oh, no, I've got a part of Chuck. No, that's my part. Now, I don't know how that all works out or shakes out, but that's not a place I want to be or a place I want to go. That's scary.
Let's
go ahead.
Can I ask a question? Do I need deliverance then? Because I have quit.
Well, here's the next part. This leads into where we're going. Sister, did you have something you wanted to say? Because I'm going to touch on that deliverance thing. Go ahead, sister.
Okay. I wanted us to touch a little bit on the legal authority. Because where you mentioned the his claim check is actually a legal ground.
Yes.
He can come through your bloodline. That's,
yes.
Satan is like the prosecuting attorney.
Yes.
Okay? He comes and he says, you're guilty of this. And so, and because of the things that you're doing, those hidden things that you think, you know, nobody is seeing, you know, and I like when you first started to talk about the addiction, because to me, how the enemy comes in, and I'm likening it to this. You let one roach in your house, just one roach, but he comes with an entire bloodline. He can procreate and recreate and pretty soon have an infestation. That is what one demon does. That is what legal ground gives to a demon, to a spirit that even in your bed, when your whole body is in the ground, he is setting camp up there and claiming your soul. You may have said, oh, I belong to the Lord and I'm a Christian. Well, you know what? What part of you really belong to the Lord?
Come on, sister. Come on.
If they have 10% hold on you, I'm telling you, they're dragging that 10% to hell. And then Jesus is going to get, 90%?
Thank you.
It doesn't work like that.
Thank you. Thank you, sister. Hallelujah. Eat it. Yes.
Go ahead, my brother.
No, the Holy Spirit's all over me when you're saying that. Because, listen, you're the first person who has confirmed that. You got that straight from the Holy Spirit. I could feel it because I'm about to lift out of this chair sitting down here in Texas. Because that is direct. You're right. There's a portion of you that is owned. Now, when I've tried to tell other Christians that, they laughed at me. They said, oh, come on, I'm bought and paid for in the blood of Jesus. And all those cliches that you hear for years. And I used to believe them and live by that. But let me tell you, the evidence, the fruit proves differently. God told me about 6 months ago, because listen, when you're in the deliverance ministry, you go through rejection. Your so-called friends in the ministry or whoever else is doing this, they will throw you under the bus. You become the leper. You know, you're kooky, you're crazy, you're out in on all that stuff. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, don't listen to anything anyone says. Keep your eyes on the fruit. Watch the fruit of what you're doing.
Say it again, my brother, please, and say it out loud, because I am sick and tired of hearing him talk about don't judge. The Word of God says judgment comes first to the house of God. And if you belong in the house of God and you call yourself a Christian, your fruit will judge you.
Fruits, fruits, fruits. It's all about the fruits. Don't tell me something I can see your fruits. I see what it is. God told me, don't ignore the fruits anymore. Listen, people can naysay and shut you down and say, you know, you just think there's a demon behind every bush. And I say, no, I don't think there's a demon behind every bush. I think there are two or three demons behind every bush. That's the reality. That's what we live in. And, you know, we've stuck our head in the sand for so long. God told me, look at the fruit. If you do deliverance ministry, and 99% of the time when you do, the person manifests the exact same characteristics. They begin to cough. They begin to yawn. They begin to do all the things that are... Now, no one took that person into a class and said, all right, this is what you're going to need to do to manifest to get delivered. I want you to start coughing at some point, then I want you to yawn. No, nobody knows. They don't know that. Let me tell you, my sister-in-law, who I know very, very well, who lived with us for a period of time, about a year, good person, but she had issues. We didn't know it at the time, but she had gotten on drugs. Now, she didn't do them when she was in our house because we could have spotted it, but she had a lifestyle that when she was, away from us, she would do things. I took her to a deliverance service one Easter Sunday morning because the only time she would go to church is on Easter. So she's a nice person, you know, very intelligent. She dressed up in her Easter dress, and we go to this church that I'm going to, deliverance stuff, and so she's sitting there real nice in her Easter dress, and my wife says, you want to go forward for prayer? She says, I guess so. She stands up, takes two steps out in the aisle. The power of God hits her. She hits the floor, starts to writhe around like a snake. You've all seen it. You've seen it dozens of times, if not hundreds. She starts to cough and do all the stuff. Now, this woman had never heard of any of this stuff. She didn't know this is what happened. When no one's coached to do these things that we see over and over and over. But the Holy Spirit told me, check the fruit. Look at the fruit of your ministry and what you are doing and compare it to the fruit of these other people who say, man, you're out there. You just need to sit down and shut up and let us give them some more feel-good messages. That's what people need to know, how to be an overcomer, how to have some prosperity in their life and all of that. Just an absolute, listen, most of it at this point in the game is a waste of time. I tell people, and I just have to tell it like it is, going to church these days can be more detrimental to you than it is helpful. Because it lulls you into a sugar-induced coma. You know, if you ate cotton candy for 24 days straight, and that's all you ate, you'd be in a sugar coma. But we go to church and we expect to get some nourishment. We're not getting anything. So the question about, you know, the Dr. Pepper. Let me get back on that, Chuck, because I know you had a valid point. Do you need deliverance? The answer is, yeah, probably so. But here's the other thing I need to say, and I want everyone listening to me, listen closely. There are not enough deliverance ministers to go around to deal with the workload that we have right now, much less the workload that's going to increase in the following weeks and months ahead. So,
that's right.
You are going to have to learn to do deliverance on yourself. You,
amen.
You cannot count on finding a Sister Lena or a Brother Rick or whomever. If you can get to that, that's great. But, brother, I have, 27 calls that I'm behind on right now trying to get to. Because this is not just a quick fix thing. So I'm telling God's people, you must learn to do self-deliverance. Now, deliverance is not the hard part. Hear what I'm saying, saints. We can get you coughing, spitting it up, and doing all that stuff. We'll get those demons out. But then you have to keep them out. That's the struggle. They'll come out. They'll put on a show. They'll do their thing because they have to obey the man, the woman of God. When we're bringing that fire and those angels with fiery swords, they're coming out. But when the person leaves, that you are going to have to walk it out. You're going to have to repent and change some behaviors. Now, that being said, since you know you're going to have to do that anyway, my advice to you is to, as the sister said, take a serious look in the mirror and say, God, where are my issues? And you don't have to say issue. It's going to be multiple. But you must, you must get serious, because if you're not serious, you cannot get in shape. I don't know if any of you ever tried to get, tried to lose weight or go to the gym. You have to be serious about that. If you want results, you got to be serious. You can't go to Gold's Gym on the day after Thanksgiving and then right after the first of the year and say, "Oh man, I work out. I work out. Yeah, I'm down there. I'm down there. That, you know, that Black Friday, but I am in the gym on Black Friday every time. And then of course the day after New Year's, I'm there because I want to start the New Year's Day right. And then everybody, well, when do you go? Oh, I don't go any other time but that. But I started off just right. So you're kidding yourself. You are going to have the discipline in your life to look honestly at these things. And I have an exercise, and I'm getting ready to hand it over to you, sister, and let you say what God's putting on your heart, because I know He's giving
Brother,
you something.
Brother, please go there.
Yes.
Brother Rick, this is Brother Jose.
Yes, Jose.
You and me are retired police officers, right?
So yes.
We know that before we went to the police department, we went to training. And then we did the physical part of the program. I did 6 months of a physical training and 3 months of the book.
Yes.
Learning the penal law and stuff.
Same here.
It takes training. Yeah. So, you know, brother, it's the same thing in the spiritual world. You know, the Bible talks about putting on the armor, and the armor is the same thing as a police officer. You can't go out the street without a gun, without a bulletproof vest. You know, you need to be prepared. So, and then you need to know what you're going to confront. And you have met people who are mentally disturbed, and you know and I know that's not mentally disturbed. It's called demonic. Those are demonic presences that are there in those people that you need to confront. So you need to prepare for that, not only in the physical world, but also in the spiritual. And I agree with you, but you need to be trained for that. That doesn't happen in one day. It doesn't happen in one week. It takes time. It takes a commitment.
It does.
Not that easy. You know that, brother.
It does, brother. And let me put it to you this way, as a former police officer. What kind of police force do you think we would have if when they went to the academy, what they did for 3 months was learn how to polish their shoes, and what they did for the other 6 months was learn how to tell jokes and make people laugh and make them feel motivated? We would live in anarchy. We would live in anarchy, man, because they wouldn't be trained. You know what you have to learn in the police academy, and the reality is you learn about 10% of what you really need to know. They just give you the basics in the police academy. Then when you get in that patrol car and that first radio call comes to you and you answer, my number was 252, and I said, 252 is clear on that call. Buddy, it's time to put up or shut up, because it's you and everything that you've learned and put into play is going to come in at that point. So the church is not preparing people to go out and do this any more than if you took your police cadets and sent them to the Cub Scouts and said, well, the Cub Scouts are going to do the police academy now, so you guys do what the Cub Scouts tell you to do. It'd be a joke.
And, brother, the sad thing is, brother, that the same training that we got in the police department, the law enforcement, the military, we got it in the Word of God.
Yes.
The Bible says equip yourself to be prepared.
That's right.
And we're just too lazy to read the Word and prepare ourselves to be equipped to battle the enemy.
The Bible
gives us every instruction to fight the enemy, to fast. Jesus says sometimes you have to fast. You can't come against these demons unless you fast and pray.
Yes.
And yet we think we could go there by the name of Jesus. That's going to work. It doesn't happen like that. It's just not that simple. We have a manual and a blueprint in the Bible. We need to study it and read it and be deliverance and know how to attack the enemy. But Amen. We just want to take the easy way out. That's just the fact.
You are exactly right. And let me speak on this self-deliverance thing, because here's what I want you to do. As Sister Lena said, you have to look in the mirror and get honest. Some of you, because there are demonic forces that block your ability to see the truth. There are demons that will keep you in denial. Here's one thing I want you to do. I have an exercise that the Holy Spirit gave me a while back. You can go to my website, which is heavenlywarriors.com. Heavenlywarriors.com, just like it sounds. HEAVENLYWARRIORS.com. You will see a download link in there. It's along the menu bar across the top. I think it says downloads or something like that. I think the word downloads is in it. Yeah, I don't even know what's in my own website. That show, and I built it, so that shows you something. In that download section, there is an exercise called Repairing a Broken Heart. You click it, and it'll download for free on your computer. There's no viruses or any of that stuff, I can promise you. But it, what it is, it's a heart. It's a little literal heart that's drawn on a piece of paper. And that heart is cut into sections, like eight different sections. Here's the exercise. Here's what the Lord told me to do. And I've done this with people, and it has done major breakthroughs. Take that piece of paper, that heart, sit at a table by yourself with a pen or a pencil. Look at that heart, and it has section 1, 2, 3, and they're all different sections of the heart. I want you to think about what hurt you the most in your life. If I came up to a total stranger, I said, "What? If you had to think of one thing that was the most traumatic thing you ever went through, what do you think it was?" They can almost instantly tell you, well, it'd be the death of my parents, or it would be this, or it would be the divorce I went through, or it'd be my child getting sick. They can tell you. Whatever your traumatic event is, write it down in block number one on this heart. And ask the Holy Spirit, show me what affected me, because let me tell you, you are a victim of a broken heart. Now, when you think of the term broken heart, you think of some sort of a love thing that, you know, you're sweetheart dumped you or something. Now, that's part of a broken heart, but the broken heart comes in with trauma, being traumatized, being hurt, being lied to, being scared, being shocked. All kinds of emotions will break, and hear me now, fragment pieces of your heart away so that literal pieces of your heart are broken away from and you're not whole inside. So you must identify each thing that you can think of. The Holy Spirit will show you things, and it could be something that seems as innocent as your cousin when you were 10 years old told you you were fat and you were ugly, and you may not have thought of it since you were 10 years old, but when he did that, it introduced a demon of low self-esteem that came into you. All right, so you write this in one of the sections on the heart. The instructions are on there. Once you get as much as you can think of in that heart, and some people take 2 and 3 hearts to do this because there's a lot of stuff. If I did it would take multiple hearts because there are a lot of things that have happened that have traumatized or hurt me through the years. A brief story, I mean, I was given up for adoption. I was an illegitimate son. The people who adopted me were alcoholics. My mother died from alcoholism. My father shot himself in the head 16 months after my mother died. I was in my early 20s. I mean, it's been one thing after another for me. So there are a lot of broken pieces. You fill that little heart out. Then you take a pair of scissors, listen, and you cut out each little piece. There's a line there for you to cut it. Cut those pieces of the heart away because you've lost that part of your heart. You are suffering from a broken heart. We all are. When they're all cut apart, slide them up across the table out from in front of you. Now, here's the important part. Listen, take one piece of that heart at a time. Take number one. It's got a little number one on it. Slide it over. Look at what you wrote there. Think about it. Let the Holy Spirit illuminate it for you. And like she said, bring the roaches out of the dark. Focus on just that one piece of that puzzle. And you know what? You're probably going to shed some tears. You're probably going to cry. You may stare at that thing for 2 days, or you may stare at it for a minute and a half. Whatever it is, you look at it. You say, God, I want you to take away the pain of this part of my broken heart. Lord, I repent for any sin that came into my life because of this part of my broken heart. And I renounce any demonic stronghold that started in my life because of this. Now, you do each section of that heart at one at a time that same way. And listen, you slowly reconstruct your heart. You see what I'm saying? You slowly put the pieces of that heart back together until you are a whole individual again. Now, that's how you start with deliverance on yourself. You must recognize what happened to you. How did these things get in you? Do you have an angry spirit? I mean, do you have a temper that you blow up and it's cost you relationships? If you do, look at that because it came somewhere. It got introduced to you. Now, once you see that heart and you've dealt with every one of those things, you're going to have to take the manifestation of those things and control them, shut them down. And we'll just take the simple thing of the Dr. Pepper thing. You're going to have to put the Dr. Peppers away. Throw them away. Don't ever even think about another Dr. Pepper. It's done. It's gone. But you're going to have to do this on your own. You're going to have to do some self-deliverance because things are going to increase and there just aren't enough deliverance ministers to go around. And we can't hold your hand and walk you through this every day. You are going to have to do it for yourself so that you can help others on this path. Is that making sense to you guys?
Yes, it does. I went there to your site, Rick, and downloaded it. It's really awesome. I'm definitely going to start using it. I've never heard of anything like this, but I could already think of a bunch of stuff that's going to go in the heart.
Yes.
It's really amazing. Did you get this from somebody else or come up with, did the Lord give this to you?
The Lord gave that to me about 2 months ago. And wow. Like I said, I've used it and shared it with people. And it has been miraculous, the breakthroughs they've had from that. And I couldn't have thought of that. I'm not that smart. But the Holy Spirit did. And here's what I want you to do. Take it, download it, put it in your computer, and print off copies of for people that you know. Sit down with them and minister to them with this. This is the icebreaker, if you will, for doing deliverance. Because just start talking about what hurt you in life. Let's do that. Let's just see where we are on this thing. And amazing stuff will happen. Okay, so yeah, the Holy Spirit gave me that. Because the point of all this is we must get cleaned up. We've got to get in shape to put those boxing gloves on because we are on the way to a fight. We got a fight coming up. Some of us are already in that fight. And we've got to be prepared and be in shape to win that fight or we're going to be a casualty. And, you know, this has been an eye-opening week for me. This builds my resolve. You know, the first thing Satan wants you to do is think, oh, my gosh, you're next. You're in trouble, man. You better be afraid of all this stuff. How dare you? How dare you go on the radio and talk about this stuff? Don't you know my witches are listening? Don't you know I have warlocks out there that are sending spells as we do this? Let me tell you, I'm a former cop and I'm a former boxer. I don't get scared of too many things. I've had the daylights beaten out of me. I've had my teeth nearly kicked in. I've had guns, knives, whatever pulled on me. Now, am I bragging that I'm so brave? No. I'm just saying I've been there, done that, and I've got the t-shirts to prove it. So there's an army that God's going to have to raise up in these last days to combat exactly the situation we're dealing with right now on this Sunday night. And it's not going to be easy. It's going to get tougher as we go. Listen, the good old days, they're gone, folks. They're gone. This is your new reality. As Obama likes to say, this is your new normal. So you must, and I'm including myself. I'm no different than you. We must get in shape to fight and pray like never before. If we have issues in our, as I said, we have that claim check in our life, that legal right that Sister Lena's talking about. That's exactly what it is. We are not able, listen to me, as James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, righteous man, effective, fervent prayer. But let's just talk about that word righteous. What is righteous? It is in right standing with the Lord. Righteous. If you have a claim check against you right now, do you think you're in right standing with the Lord? Hallelujah. Confess your trespasses to one another. What do you think that's all about? James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another. That means you got to do what we're talking about. Look at that heart. Do those things. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I bind every spirit that's attempting to disrupt this thing right now. Every interference that comes along. This is the word of God. This is a rhema word right now for such a time as this. Take authority over that. And in the name of Jesus, I come against you in the blood of Jesus. Angels with flaming swords right now, wherever that interference is coming from, step in. Step in and deal with it. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Sister, do you have something?
Yes, hallelujah. Thank you. I admire that as soon as you notice it, my brother, that you started to pray against, because the devil doesn't want this to be told. And I first want to address your heart chart. That indeed is from the Holy Spirit, because the heart, as the Lord was showing me, we have the body, soul, and spirit. You have two entry doors before you get to the spirit, the physical flesh and the soul. The soul is considered the heart.
Yes.
Our heart. Within our soul, we have our intellect, our emotions, our likes, dislikes, things that identify us as a unique individual. Okay?
Yes.
And so from your chart, and listeners, please listen carefully. From this chart, what you're helping to identify is your soul damage.
Yes.
Where the pieces of you that have been scattered, where your ex-husband, ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend, your grandmother, grandfather, all the things that have been done to you that have caused harm and hurt. The Bible says, guard your heart. Out of the heart flows the issues of life. Out of your heart will tell you where you have been. A person doesn't have to open their mouth, just their actions will speak to you. That person came from the street. When a person comes to the Lord, we can tell where God has brought them from. Someone can look at me, and when I minister, say, okay, this is where God brought this person from. You lose that identity and pick up the identity of Christ. But there is always something that says, okay, this person knows what they're talking about because they were on the street. There's something about them. You don't lose that identity, because that identity is your testimony. What you do is that you heal the pieces, meaning that you close the doors. You take those broken pieces, and the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus, becomes the glue, just like a broken vase. Just like with Jeremiah at the potter's house. Jeremiah got down to the potter's house, and he saw a work of art being worked on the wheel. But then he saw that work of art being smashed. Being smashed didn't mean that the Lord took another set, a lump of clay. He performed a perfect work out of that exact same lump. So when we come to the Lord, we're being reworked, and we have to identify. You don't need nobody. You know your vices.
Yes.
You know what wake you up in the middle of the night when you think nobody's asleep, and you turn on that computer. And when you click on something, you know you should not click on it. But you sit up there and you think you can do what you want to do. And I'm telling you, until you address those things, until those pieces, those fragments of your soul are put together, then you become 50% God, 50% the devil, which really means the devil owns all of you.
That's right.
Because once he gets a foothold, you don't belong to Christ. And I don't care what nobody says. People disagree when you speak these truths.
The truth. It's the truth, sister.
I am not going to tell you the lie that you're going to, oh, God understands and that it's okay and God understands, knows my heart. First of all, the Lord says, do not allow anything to master you. Deliverance is not a step-down process, nor is it a 12-step process. Okay? When you're going to quit something, you can't say, I'm going to reduce it. You know, like how they tell you, go from smoking weed to chewing tobacco. Go from smoking Kool and whatever those cigarettes are to chewing tobacco. Well, guess what? You still have given that demon a legal foothold, or you exchange your alcohol for something else. Or you know what? Maybe you're not out there sleeping with somebody, but you exchange it with pornography.
Mm-hmm.
The same demon. What you've done is you've opened up yourself to even more. Truly, you can quit. Because every area of your life that you leave untouched is a legal ground where Satan, remember, when Joshua the high priest was standing before the Lord, there was also
Satan. And I'm sure he had his long rap sheet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you this because God does not want you to be confused anymore. And when you get the deliverance, do not call back and say, well, you know, I did it again. What had happened through that deliverance was that what? Your root wasn't exposed because you held on to it. I hear demons, a lot of time we do in the deliverance, the demon is saying, she's not letting me go. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit, what's going on, Lord? Where's the root? You see, demons like to throw a smoke screen. I had one person, we were going through a deliverance, and for whatever reason, the demon was telling them that they were a sex addict. And I'm like, no, you're not. Your problem is that you have a pride issue.
Mm-hmm.
Down somewhere where, when you were a child, someone was putting you down. And so you thought that you could go out there and do anything and whatever it is that you want to do. But that's not the root. Your root is this. And fought with me. No, it's not my root. But I said, no, this is where your problem is coming from. Everything else is a branch. You got to go to the seed.
Right.
And from the seed, you got to follow. It's just like a palm tree. Have you tried pulling up a palm tree out of your yard? You're pulling one end and then you look and you see the roots spread out all over. That's the canker of the enemy. And until you get down and dirty and realize that, wait a minute, I want to be done with this. I don't know. I do not understand why Christians, when they are fasting, will drink coffee while they're fasting. And they say, it's okay. You're exchanging one flesh thing for another. Like I said, body, soul, and spirit. You're fasting, but you're dealing with the body and the soul because the spirit has not come alive yet. When you come before God, you have to open up. You can no longer allow the enemy to keep you on like a puppet. And he stands there and laughs and mocks you. And I say this, it is the church's fault because we have refused to teach Genesis to Revelation. We've only taught about, oh, God is the God of love. We forget that he hates the sin. And we teach about once you come to God, once saved, always saved. And I ask the question, then what about the death of Christ? Then that makes it a death in vain. We have to now come to the full realization that, you know what, it is true. There's nothing good in me. And until I allow the Holy Spirit to take full control over me, to take full control and go into areas. I remember even from my own self, and this message for me over and over again, I remember when the Holy Spirit was dealing with me, and I said, Lord, I've given you everything. He says, give me the key. And I said, Lord, key to what? You have everything. You took my job. You took my family. You took everything. I have nothing. And I threw my hands up and I said, Lord, I have nothing. And the Lord says, give me the key. And I said, Lord, I have no key. He says, give me the key to that treasure box. He said, in that box was every hurt and pain that was done to you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to allow me to come inside and lift the lid. What happens, we don't want to lift the lid. We come to Christ and we sweep a whole bunch of stuff underneath the bed. We put our foot on it, just like that serpent, we try to put our foot on it, but guess what? You've got to be standing and stomping on the head of the serpent, because if you pick your foot up 1 ounce, he's going to bite you, and once he bites you, that venom gets back into your system, and you're going to find yourself right in the fridge at midnight. You're going to find yourself jumping through the window because you got an itch that needs to be itched. You're going to find yourself, hallelujah, coming home, and you're like, you know what? You're looking at that bottle of wine because what? You didn't heed the word of the Lord, and he says, get everything out. You figure that you can deal with it. So guess what? You tell yourself, oh, I'm just going to go over here with my friends. I know they're going out to the nightclub, but you know, I'm just going there. I'm not a part of it. And you're watching all that stuff, being in the presence of demons, and you think it's okay. We're not separating ourselves unto God.